next week we'll have a church dinner and eat and fellowship together. And tonight we're going to observe the Lord's table together. And I'm going to be preaching on this subject. It's one of my favorite verses of Scripture in Genesis chapter 43, where Judah said with regard to Benjamin, "I will be surety for him." I've entitled this message, "First, After That." There's an order. First, and after that. Now, this is the great chapter with regard to Melchizedek. I think it's kind of interesting to think, if I would ask probably many preachers in Lexington, Kentucky, what they thought of Melchizedek, they'd say, "What? Who's he?" But he is a very important figure in the Scripture. He first comes up in Genesis 14 when he blessed Abraham, and then he's not mentioned again till the 110th Psalm. That's 800 years later. And somehow David understood that he was a priest called by God after the order of Melchizedek. He understood Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek. And that's what Hebrews chapter 7 is all about. And we are going to spend several weeks in Hebrews chapter 7 regarding this man, Melchizedek. But I want us to notice in verse 2, "To whom," speaking of Melchizedek, "also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." Just a note, I was looking for messages on sermon audio on this, and about the only messages you would hear is messages on tithing. Need to give 10%. Melchizedek did. If that's what you get out of it, you missed it altogether. This is not about whether or not believers ought to tithe. This is talking about the greatness of this man, Melchizedek, that Abraham gave him a tenth part of all. "First, being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace." And this is all I want to deal with this morning, is this divine order. First, king of righteousness. I have no doubt in my mind that this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, this Melchizedek. There's only one man who could be described as king of righteousness, isn't there? That's the Lord Himself. And after that, He's the King of Peace. Now here's what I want to bring out from this. First, righteousness. Then, peace. The only way that you or I can have peace is if we are perfectly righteous before God. You know what that means? Sinless. That means I've never sinned. The only way that I can have peace, and I mean real peace, is if I have never sinned. That's what justification is. Sinlessness. The only way I can have peace is if I have never sinned. There cannot be peace unless there is first righteousness. Now, this is the message of the gospel. How that God can be just and yet justify people like me and you, sinful people. That is the message of the gospel. How God can be just and yet justify me when I'm unjust. First, righteousness. After that, peace. Now, God is a God of order. And here we have the divine order. Paul said to the church at Corinth, God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of disorder. The church at Corinth was in chaos, and Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. Here's God's order. First, righteousness. Perfect righteousness. Oh, if you believe that you are perfectly righteous in Christ and have no sin, no sin, no sin, you know what you're going to have? Peace. I think of what Paul said in Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not rules and regulations. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now that is the order. Righteousness. Perfect righteousness. What comes from that? Peace. And let me say this. That's peace with God. I'm not talking about feeling perfect peace, although you'd like to, but I'd rather have peace than feel it, wouldn't you? I want to feel it. Peace is a feeling. I want to feel it. But the peace spoken of is that peace that Christ worked out for me. Next time somebody says, have you made your peace with God? Tell them, no. Christ made my peace with God. Christ wholly made my peace with God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read this. You can turn there if you want. Luke chapter 1. I want us to notice this word, order. God has an order. Verse 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order. Most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Paul said to the Colossians that he beheld their order and steadfastness in their faith. There will not be steadfastness in faith if there's not an understanding of the order. Righteousness. First righteousness. Then peace. Now this is set forth, this thing of God being a God of order. It's set forth in creation. It's set forth in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now here is the order, God, then creation. God in His isness, then creation. Now, even this thing of preaching, there must be a divine order. Preaching does not begin with man and the good things God can do for him. Preaching, true preaching, begins with God. In the beginning, God. And with God, and I'm speaking in words that we can just believe but don't really comprehend, The preaching of God begins in eternity. Before there was time, before there was space, He is the eternal God. In the order of everything, it must first begin in eternity, or it is false. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Speaking of the death of Christ, we read in Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." If I look at the cross of Christ apart from eternity, I take away its meaning. And I make it God's response rather than God's purpose. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There is a divine order. I like what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, speaking of the Scriptures. Verse 20, he said, "Knowing this first," this comes first, "knowing this first, that no Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now understand this. The Bible is God-breathed. Somebody says, how can you believe that? If we don't have the Bible as God breathed, what do we have? The thoughts and opinions of ignorant, foolish men. And somebody says, how do you expect me to believe that God inspired a book and kept it preserved? Same way I expect you to believe that God created the universe. If He can create the universe from nothing, He can write a book, inspire men to write it, and keep it preserved. And that comes first. And all of our information about this divine order isn't just using logic. It's from the Scriptures. That's where we've got to begin. If I can't go to the Scriptures to declare what I'm preaching, if I can't show this is what God's Word teaches, this is an exercise of futility. There's just no point in it. We've got to begin with the Scriptures, knowing this first. All of our information comes from the Scriptures. And even in the Scriptures, there's an order in interpretation. What do I mean by that? Well, the Lord said, with regard to the Scriptures, "They are they which testify of me." Every Scripture testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I don't begin there in my understanding of the Scriptures, I've missed the meaning. I've got to begin there. I know where to begin. Whatever it is, I might not understand it completely just yet, but whatever it is, I know it testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I must begin there. Now, Christ identifies Himself in this way. "I am the Alpha and the Omega." That's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the first and I'm the last. There is the divine order. What a glorious Savior He is. It said of Christ that all things were made by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. By Him all things consist. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now let's consider God's order. First righteousness, after that peace. Now there's an order. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. And this is not logical, although it is logical. It's what the Scripture teaches. We're not trying to be logical at this time. We're trying to give what the Scripture teaches. God is a God of order, and that is seen first in the order of creation. God gives an order. 6 days. 6 days. Something happened on each of those days. Somebody says, does that mean a 24-hour period? I don't know. It may. It may not. Known unto God are all his works with God. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is his day.